Okay, so we're continuing from yesterday. We're on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis at the very bottom, top of Kuf Dalet Red Aleph. And so yesterday we had the question about the Machlokes, if you switch a Mem to Mem Sofis or vice versa, whether it's good. So it's Machlokes Tanaim. So we said the question is, do you say Mem Mem Sofis are two different letters or are they the same letter? Same letter, just two different Maisik Siva, depending on whether it's the beginning of the end. And we said that's dependent upon what's the essence of an os. The essence of an os, a sound producer, in which case Mem and Sofis are the same, just different. The same producer is written a certain way, so if it happens to be the beginning or the end or whatever, but it's two different ways, but essentially it's the same os. Or do you say the essence of an os is really a tsura? It's a tsura, in which case you say Mem and Sofis are two different tsuras. Now the tsura has a function of producing a sound, but the essence is a tsura. Okay. Fine. So that was fine. So now you have a third shita, which holds that it gets rejected pretty quickly. But if you were to say that the Nevi'im, that basically Minat Torah, really maybe only a Mem Sofis existed, then the Nevi'im came along and introduced the other, regular Mem. And if that's the case, so then the halacha would be that if you switch from a regular Mem to a Mem Sofis, the later addition to the real deal, then it's going to be good because you're making it better. But if you switch from Mem Sofis and you write a regular Mem, which you're lessening it, so then it should be possible, right? So according to this stage, that's the Gemara. Turns out the Gemara says he rejects it, because then how do the Nevi'im make up a new form of the ladder? Which can't be, so therefore rejects it. But in theory, if we're getting at that problem, so Gemara held that really that's what happened. That Minatori only had Mem Sofis, or Nevi'im came along and added on a Mem, and this is the natural result that you go one way but not the other way. So the question is if the Nevi'im gave this a din of Mem, so then it's a Mem, and they should be able to switch both ways. Elamai, you'll say that it's not a Mem. It's a different letter, so it's a different letter, then you shouldn't be able to switch either way. So what's the deal? We mean making it better, making it worse. What kind of thing is that, better or worse? The whole thing sounds funny. I mean, is it the Mem or is it not the Mem? Is it those? What kind of os is it? But also a question. What is the Mem doing? I mean, Torah has the letters, and then the Mem just say, you know what? Here's the other ones. Which, I mean, it should be silly. I mean, of course it's the problem. Yeah, the Nevi'im aren't allowed to change things. That's a technical problem. But like, what? Forget the problem. Like, what sense does it make? Where are they coming from? You know what I mean? Like, the problem is that they're not allowed to do that. But why would they even want to do it? Like, what's the whole idea here? It's like a weird kind of thing. Torah has ladders, man. You know what? Let's introduce Sophios. You know, or I'm sorry, let's introduce regulars. Like, what's that whole idea? So, okay. So I'm thinking like this that I'm going to posit one fact, and from there I'm going to work here. Okay. And the fact is, in the general sense, that it's easier for a sofer to write the regular letters than the sofios. Okay? It's easier for a sofer to write the regular letters. Okay? Why is it easier? So in the mem I think it's clear. Because it's psucha, you don't have to finish it. It's like you don't, not much easier here, but you don't have to complete it. That's the idea of psucha or stuma. I mean, regular mem, you have to complete the ksav. In the mem sofis, you complete it. But in the mem psucha, you don't have to complete it. You do the mem, but you don't have to quite finish it. Okay, that's the idea of psucha. It's like you're doing, it's a lesser ladder. Okay? In the other ones, in the sofios, they're not necessarily, the difference is, like you said, is whether it goes sideways or down. So I think perhaps there's a difficulty when you have the letters. If you ever noticed, the letters, those sofios will go below the line, besides for men. And below the line gets complicated, because sometimes you have like a lamed going on top of the line, or under the line, and sometimes they get close. Like you can imagine, as a sofer, you have to avoid like bumping, or whatever, you know, you have to be a little bit, thinking in advance about how you're going to work things out when you write sofios, they go under the line. So in a certain sense, to be able to take the under part and, angle it upwards and put it above the line makes the writing of the Torah easier.
Okay? So it's an easier ksav. Okay? It's an easier ksav. Okay, that's my fact. So David asks, is that the mem, and the mem sophist, he could argue that the mem has a little shmendrik on top. Goes like under the line a little. It's like, you look at a mem, you'll say. So in a sense, you could argue it's easier to make the mem sophist, because it's just very square. It doesn't have that like little dent. But I'm saying, that's a good question, but I answer back, I say, yeah, maybe, I'm not a sofer, but maybe it's harder to close up a letter. Because when you close up a letter, when you come back around and you hit again, you have to make sure you hit exactly. You don't want to stick out or to not make it. So it could be just harder. Sasum is harder to make. It's easier to make something psucha, because you just end it and you stop it. And there's no amount, exact amount, how much it has to be psucha. So a little bit, a little more, a little less. But closing, you have to close exactly. So it could be that it's a little more difficult to do. You have to line it up exactly. Okay, that's my fact. You could really pursue it further from Sofer, but that's my fact upon which my Sofer is going to rest. Okay? Okay. So if you buy that, so I'm saying what the Nevi'im are doing is basically they realize that it's sometimes difficult to write Dora or whatever, and they're doing is they're saying, they're inventing letters, easier forms of the letters. And there are certain letters which are difficult to make, and they're making forms. They're saying is you have a right to do the easier letter, to do an easier form. They're setting out, they're creating like an easier, like an approximate letter, an approximation of the letter, which is a new form, an easier form of the letter. It's not the real letter Kitsuraso, but it's approximately the letter, but it's an easier to make. And they're saying you have a right to make this lesser form. It's a lesser form. It's not the full-blown os. But it's close enough that they're giving it a din of an os of like in a secondary fashion, as far as like it approximates the real os. Okay, and they're giving it a status of an os. Okay, now pitbot they're saying is that you have a right to do that except at the end of word. Okay, for whatever reason they don't want to knock out the regular os altogether. So what they did is they said at the end of the word you can't do that. There has to be a place. I don't know, maybe there's a reason why they end up being mashlam or whatever. I don't know. You could make out whatever. But the idea is that they wanted to limit your ability to use the letter. They wanted to retain the original os also. So the way they retained it is they said the real os, the end of the word, you mechliv to use the regular os. Okay, and that's the os m'ula. But on the rest of the word, you have a right to use the os garua. And you don't have to be Torah to write the full-blown os. We have a right to use the lesser os, the approximate os. Okay, and they gave it a din of an os. They gave it a din of an os. So it turns out it is a mem. It is a mem. It turns out at the end of the day there are two forms of mem. There's the intrinsic form, and then there's the approximate form, the secondary form. So if you buy that, so then what's going to happen if you switch? So if you take the approximate form and you write it as the and you write, if you're supposed to be writing the approximate form, the regular, and you write the stuma, the real form, so then of course it's going to be good. Because sometimes that's the real os. Well, they're just telling you you have a right, and they said you have a right to use the lesser form. I'll tell you in a second. You're supposed to use the lesser form, because there's a formalized structure. You know, they just leave it up to every sofer to decide, so they formalize it. They use the regular form. But of course, if you can't say it's possible if you do the real os, you may not be following the minhag sofrim to use the lesser form, which the Nevi'im allowed you to do. But I mean, the os, it's the real os. It's the os of os me'ula. So you're yulei me'ayulei. So then that I'll tell you, it's kosher. Yulei me'ayulei. But if you're supposed to be using at the end of the word, where basically you're supposed to use the regular one, and now you use the os plusa, so I'll tell you that's a psalm. That's like a pagam in the Sefer Torah. Notice here the Sefer Torah is supposed to have the os me'ula, and you're introducing the os garua. So I'll say that's a pagam. So it is a mem, enochanami, it is a mem, but it's the garoi megaroi like. So it's megareya, the Sefer Torah. It's like a pagam in the Sefer Torah. So that will undermine the ksav. Maybe because ksivatama, maybe just because you have a pagam in the Torah. It's a pagam. In other words, when the Nevi'im allow you to use those os, then fine. But if there's a case where they say you can use it, and then you introduce the os garua, so that's a pagam in the Sefer Torah. It's going to be a bosa. I'm throwing out that because it's easier to do.
It's easier. That's why they would do such a thing. But I mean, I guess you don't. In theory, I mean, it just you don't have to say that. You could just say, look, there's the intrinsic os, and then they set up an os geruah, which approximates the intrinsic os, and they set that up. You know, and they said that as a dinner an os geruah, so now it's going to result. And the only thing is, it's like bothersome. Why should they do such a thing? So what I'm saying is, maybe they did such a thing because it's easier for sofer. I guess in the halachic structure, you don't need that idea of it being easier. You could say, look. So there's intrinsic os, and this approximates it, and they said that you could use the approximate os. Why should they set that up? I don't know. I'm throwing out a possibility. But even if you don't have the possibility, I mean, whatever. Halachically, that's what they're saying. It is a din of an os geruah, because it's not quite the os, but it's close enough that it has a shem os. It's a shem os, but it's os geruah. The problem is not the idea itself. The problem is that how does the Nevi'im just make it up? Torah doesn't have os geruah. Torah only has one os. So it says that's a mitzvah. We can't just chalash amayata. Navi can't just make up a new os. An os is a halachic chalashem. Navi can't just say, you know what? There's a new os. An os geruah. They can't. They're changing Torah. Torah has there's one way to make an os. Anything else is possible. And they're saying, oh, there's a new way to approximate. And Torah knew in theory you can make approximation. Torah holds no such thing as approximation. So the Nevi'im just came along and changed it. Just made a brand new halacha and minat Torah. Just it doesn't work that way. So we're doing Gemara rejects it. But I mean, in theory, it could have been the case of Minat Torah. It seems like Gemara didn't have a problem with the concept. It just had an idea that a Navi can't be the originator of such an idea. Okay, so David asks, is the Samach also hard to make? Because it's also closed. So, that's true. I mean, I think maybe I should back off a little bit. I guess my last question also is, essentially the idea here is the halachic idea, which is that there's an os, there's an intrinsic osios, intrinsic letters, which are the sophios, the mem sophios, nun sophios, and all the sophios, and that's when we're given from God at Sinai. But then the Nevi'im came along and said that they set up like an approximate form of those osios. Okay, and those have a din of an os geruah, like of an os that's lacking. Okay, it's an approximate, and said that you're allowed to use this approximate form in the regular part of the word. Okay, not at the end, but in the regular part of the word. Okay, why they do that? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm saying possibly because it makes it easier. There are other things also maybe nice to make it easier. I don't know. The Nevuah didn't tell them to do that. I'm speculating as a possible reason, but I mean it's not certainly not the whole of the story, and maybe it's nothing to do with it. I don't know. It just seems like a trend in the thing. But ultimately, it's a mesorah. I mean, it's a nevuah. They got up a nevuah, that idea to do that. But whatever it is, halachically, the halachic thing is the point, is that it's a mesorah, it's a nevuah, that they're instituting an os geruah, an approximate os, a letter which approximates the real one, but not quite. Okay, it's not, you're not quite making the regular letter, but you're doing an approximate form, and that's aggressive. Now, when I say that you have a right to do it, maybe someone asked me, I think Ilan asked me when I was doing this, is what do you mean you have a right to do it? You have to. Even though you can't just do a regular mem and say, do a mem so first, you're just not allowed to do that. But I'd say just because there's the uniformity among sofrim. Can't just, once they say you have a right to, they're saying that's the way to do it. So now, guy, you can't just on your own decide, I want to do the full-blown one. And it's just that if you do, of course it's going to be kosher, because that's the real os. The real mem is the mem so first. But it's just saying, you know, once they say you have a right to, then that's the halacha. That's what you're supposed to do. But it's not going to be a posel, because they're saying is instead of doing the approximate os, I'm doing the real os. Of course that's going to be good. But if we're supposed to do the real os, and now I do the geruah, so now I'm poking him the Sefer Torah, it has like a deficiency. Because I've created a deficiency which is unwarranted by halacha. So it's a Sefer Torah, that was a begam. So that's going to be a posel. It has a deficiency, it's going to disqualify it. I'm just throwing that out as I don't think my sefer really rests on that fact, and just giving it a little bit of sense. So if you may say, well, why should I do that? What kind of idea is that? So I'm just giving some sort of a sense, but it's not a full picture. It's not a full sense, and if it just shows there could be that there could be reasons for this kind of thing. You know, why exactly they did it? Maybe it has something to do with that, but there are details you have to work out, or maybe it's a totally different thing. Helps, I think it still helps to bring out the idea, but once you have the idea, you could kind of minus that out, and it still works.
funny. They ask, why is it not in alphabetical order? Because the order, the letters which have the sophios are spelled Mansbach, Mem Nun Sadi Pechav. So the problem is not in alphabetical order. It should have been Chaf Mem Nun Pechadi. So Tosa says because it sounds like Tzofen. Mansbach is like Min Tzofen or something like that. It sounds like, which Tzofen means like the Nevi'im. So it's saying it's in references that they're from Nevi'im, you know? So maybe if they did a Samach, it wouldn't work out. Maybe like you're only allowed to do it if you have a reference that it's not just making something up.
Or you think they show the letters such that it would...
Maybe it would be manifest that it's from Nevuah, something like that, you know? Just throwing it out, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking something...
Where is that? Who said that? Rashi said that? Where did I see that?
That's
it. Is it Rashi? Tosos,
yeah.
Which Tosos?
The first one, three letters from the bottom.
Oh, yeah, okay, right, yeah. The Mansvach Mashra Min Tzofim. I don't know what the Chaf is. Mansvach Min Tzofcha.
Your Tzofim?
Tzofcha, maybe. Min Tzofcha. Maybe. So you guys can say maybe that they wanted to do it, like the Matir to do it, is that it's manifestation of Nevuah, you're not just messing all around with those, you know, the thing. Mm-hmm. So if that would be the case, it could be they would like to do Samach,
but...
You
put them in the alphabetic order, what is it? Kim and Napetz.
Kim and Napetz, that's true.
Right?
Okay. That's pretty good. What does that mean, the Kim and Napetz?
It's about our enemies who were celebrating the fall of Yerushalayim and the Gerush and the Golos, the fact that the Jews were exiled, so and they were an Edom, they were just waiting to buy the Jews as slaves.
Where is that? That's a good find.
At the end of Amharut Baba.
Oh really?
That's why I looked it up
in
the
Pirkei Avot. Okay. Yeah. Good. Very good. Thank you, Rabbi. I guess that's a good point.
From another point of view.
Yes.
The fact that so many of the otiot in the Aleph Bet have this line, this solid bar on the line, Beit, Kaf, Mem, Nun.
Right.
And so on,
right.
Or the ayin is almost, but that represents, this is a ligature, tying the letters together. And at one time, that's how they were written. Then they were separated, but the line remained, except for the final letters.
But in the final letters, it doesn't. Oh, that's interesting.
Because they didn't have the ligature
that's
to connect it to the following letter.
That's interesting. I mean, the saying is it's easier to write.
They do it just the way they do in
Abdel
Arabic.
Arabic script. Also, right.
And in the Syriac, which is the Christian version of Aramaic, they use this different alphabet.
Uh-huh.
Most of the letters are joined on the line.
Uh-huh.
Joined together.
So you mean if you're writing a word and you have a sophis at that in the middle of the word, it's going to make it hard to harder to write. Because it goes down, and then you have to start again.
And then you have to go back.
Right, I understand. The mem, it won't work for though, right? The mem so fast, so that make a difference?
I can't explain that one.
Right, but that's interesting. That's a good point. I was just saying, because it's harder, I don't know if you're here, but I was saying it's harder also, because once it goes under the line, you're going to have to worry about on the next line that it doesn't bang into the, you know, like if you have a lamed or something, to make sure they also make it harder.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't explain the end. You know, I was just saying they wanted to retain the original
lamed
one.
Lamed is a special case. If you look, I've seen on occasion magazines, copies or photos of old, really ancient manuscripts in Ivrit, and the lamed, it looks like a capital L as we have it, with a tiny hook at the bottom, which represents the ligature.
Oh, really?
But in subsequent generations,
it got
the
higher.
Upright became somewhat shorter, although we still retain it, and the ligature became longer and represents the body of the letter that's between the upper and lower lines of the of the space.
Right, that's interesting. I mean, it wasn't so high above the line, though. Used to not be.
Right. Until the ligature. Yeah. But if you look at the old one, you can see there's a big L, capital L, and a little hook at the bottom.
Really? Wow, that's so interesting.
Me too.
What?
Mutated.
That's a good point.
And that's one of the criteria by which the experts in this matter can date a manuscript.
Really?
Not only date, but where it's from, as well as which part of which century.
Right, that's interesting. So could you come up with an explanation for the Mem and the Mem Sophist? Why would they change that?
I don't know. I know in the Syriac alphabet, they have the same 22 letters we have. About half of them can be easily recognized by comparing to our alphabet.
Really?
And including the Mem, the regular Mem, it just looks like a sort of expanded version.
Really? Uh-huh.
But it's resting on the
line. I've been looking online a little bit about the evolution of the languages, and like historically, like the thing that, like, the word doesn't make any sense. Like, the it doesn't jive with what the historians say about the language at all. Like, nothing about it makes any sense.
Really? Uh-huh. That's interesting. Do you have anything about the Mem and Mem Sophist?
There are a few stages. There's the early Semitic, middle Semitic, late Semitic, and then there's the modern Hebrew, which is the Aramaic script. Wow. The early Semitic script was, it looked like mountains, like three mountains, a zigzag, like chunk chunk chunk.
Like waves, Mayan.
Do you mean like an M?
Mayan waves.
Exactly,
waves.
Like Mayan. Yeah, they talked about that a little bit.
That's the name of it. Mayan.
Okay, good.
So, and then it turned into something that looks kind of like a Mem with a J added on the end. Like you have like an M with a J.
Oh, really?
Like you drop down the thing. So it's just like a twiggle, and the last twiggle drops down like a J.
On the left side or on the right side?
Right, I'm reading it. You're right. It's really the first one, because I'm reading it right.
The left side or the right side?
It's on the right side. So it goes, so it's like a J, and then there's like a couple bumps.
Uh-huh.
That's middle Semitic. And then late Semitic is like an S with a cross through the middle.
A what with a cross through the middle?
An S.
With
a cross through the middle, kind of like an S, like if you read an S and then you slant it, and then you tip over, you push the top towards the left. It's kind of slanted.
Right.
And then you put a line through the middle, so it's kind of like an SF type thing.
Okay.
So that's late Semitic, and then the Aramaic script is the one we have today, which has the regular Mem and the final Mem.
Okay.
So what were they? What's the Gemara doing here? Like, it's obviously not making any recourse to, like, I don't know. Like, the historians could also be wrong. Like, maybe the historians are wrong.
I think Sadak Jano is raising another interesting point, is that amongst others. But one point I think fits well with what we were saying, that it could be also is in writing letters, when you're writing a word, so you want to be able to continue from one letter to the next in the middle of the word, and the Sophios make that difficult, because you're all the way at the bottom of the line, then you have to start again. As opposed to the regular ones, they have a line across on the bottom, which leads naturally into the next letter. So it could be, and along with what I was saying earlier, that it could be makes it easier to write. It does make it easier to write, and it explains very well why the last letter of a word, they didn't change it. So they're setting up an approximate form of the letter, which you have a right to use in the middle of a word, but at the end of the word, there's no such right. So then you have to use the full-blown, the real letter. So that would be good. The only thing is, it doesn't work for the Mem and the Mem Sophist. It's hard to understand. That theory won't work for that. Mine didn't really work for that either. But it's good. It explains why better than what I was saying, why it would be the end of the letter, the end of the word, they wouldn't do it. Because they're doing it because in writing, you want to be able to continue one from one to the other, one letter to the next. So the problem is the Gemara rejects this, saying that you can't say that the Nevi'im came along and created new letters. It was the Torah, whatever the Torah says, Ela Advarim, Ela Mitzvos. It means these are the Mitzvos, Torah says. She'ena Nevi Rishay Chadash Davar Mi'ata. A Nevi can't come along and change the Halacha. So if tell me the Torah said, Mem is Mem Sophist, Nevi can't come along and say, you know what, here's an alternate letter that you can do because it'll be easier. Or here's a Uzgarua. They can't just
You can't change the Torah. The Torah is the Torah. They can't just make up a new letter. That's not within their powers. The Nevuah of the Torah is complete, and it can't be changed by... it's true there that you can have a Gezerah to protect the Torah, something to that effect. But you can't just give a right to not write the letter as was given out to Moshe at Sinai. So although it's a nice theory, it just doesn't work out with the premise about the ability of a Navi. So the Gemara therefore rejects that theory. So then it moves to another theory, which is a little better, which just says that really, the Torah may Hashem gave both of them. Them, Sophist and man, and regular man. The only thing is, he didn't tell us which one's which. And then the Nevi'im came along, and they reconciled, they told us which is which. Okay, they didn't tell us which is the beginning, which is the end. And the Nevi'im came and straightened it out. So that the Gemara thought was good, but the Gemara rejects that also. In which case, basically, they'd both be men. They both have the status of a man, or a nun, or whatever. But in which case, the difficulty the Gemara has is, yeah, but still, a Navi can't do that. Okay, still, a Navi can't do that, because Eila Dvar means this is a complete, and it can't be that the Navi is going to come along and tell us what the Torah, what Hashem meant. So what we want to do is we want to explain. I mean, it sounds like the same problem. Apparently, the Gemara had a Hava Amina. You could have argued that you can't have, the Navi can't change and add a new letter, but he could clarify what the Torah meant. The Torah was vague, and they could clarify. To which case, the Gemara introduces, apparently develops this idea of the power of a Navi further, and says a Navi can't do that either. So the question is, what was the idea of the limitations of a Navi originally? Like, what's the difference between the limitation on a Navi in the first one, where he's saying is that he can't just add a new letter altogether, and the second one, where he's saying is that he can't explain, elucidate which one is which? Apparently, you could have differentiated. You could have said that Navi can't do the first, but he could do the second. So what are these two different things? We explain that, a sense to that. Okay, so I'm thinking like this, that there's a difference, there are two things. One thing, the first way you're saying is that God gave the Torah and said this is how it should be. And then the Navi comes and says, you know what, I'm going to change it. That's saying you can't do. Okay, in other words, God said, Mem looks like this, Sophist. That's it. What's Mem? Only that. Then a Navi comes along and says, you know what, there's another form. That is saying that you can't do. Navi can't change the Torah. But the second one, you'd argue, he could, because all it's saying is God is saying that there are two Mems. There are two forms of Mem. Which one's which? We're not saying. You have to figure it out. Or a Navi will tell you later. Whereas the Navi then was, God never told us which is which. God didn't tell us which is which. And the Navi came along later and clarified that which God chose not to clarify. Okay, see, the Navi then is not changing the Torah. He's just elucidating a part of the Torah which the Torah never explicitly said. Torah left open. Okay, so you say that the Navi can do? Because he's not changing the Torah. He's not saying the Torah was wrong, the Torah made a mistake. Torah just never clarified. The Torah gave us both and didn't tell us which one's which. I think that's kind of a rejection. A rejection is, but then it would turn out that the Torah was an incomplete work. It's not, then the problem isn't that the problem there with that is not that the Navi would be changing it, but then you'd be saying is that the Torah was given in an incomplete fashion. That the Torah was given to us, and basically it was given, and it was unclear, and you would know. Torah basically is incomplete, isn't fully explicit, and at that point, until the Nevi'im came along, which I don't know when they came along, maybe it was Moshe, or I don't know, maybe it was soon thereafter, just kind of, I don't know exactly when it was, but until that point, you basically wouldn't have any ability to determine. So it turned out that the Torah was really the Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah was an incomplete Nevuah. It didn't really fully elucidate the halachos. So the thing is, that can't be. Can't be that the Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was pending, the full understanding of Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was pending a further Nevuah. That's Eilat Mitzvos. So it's not because a Navi it's not a problem for the Navi to come along because he's changing, because he's not changing. The problem is then you're implying that the Torah's Nevuah was not complete, left something unexplained, which is Eilat Mitzvos. These are it. It's a complete explanation. It's a complete system. Can't be contingent upon some further explanation, some further Nevuah. So that's a good question. I know that question. So the question is, they would ask, what about Masorah Kotel HaChamim?
like by Chol HaMoed, or also by the Inuyim, I think that comes up also. Israel says, the Torah really says, you can't do Melacha Chol HaMoed. But if you say Deraisa, and it's Torah, there's all Machlokas. But let's say you say Deraisa, it means Torah said it, but it was Masachat HaChom to determine what Melacha means on Chol HaMoed. And the Chom determined the categories, so that sounds like the Torah really did leave it open. So here we're saying Eila Mitzvot, the Torah has to be complete, you can't have something which is left open for another Navi to clarify, and it seems like, what's Masna Kos HaChomim, what's the difference? Torah didn't clarify what you're not allowed to do Chol HaMoed, it left it open for the Chacham to determine. So why is that not a contradiction? Now, so I think they're different. The difference is that the difference between Nevuah and Svar, which is that there's nothing wrong with saying that the Torah said you can't do Malach on Chol HaMoed, it gave you the basic idea, the concept, and the particulars were left to the Balei Masorah to determine using the Svaras. As far as the system, the concept is Chol HaMoed is be a different day. It's not Chol, it's not Yantif. And they left to the Chum to set up a system using Chachma to determine how it's going to work out. And then every Dar, every Chacham is going to figure out a system. He's going to determine the system, and Yamachoksim. And I mean, that is the methodology. The Torah is Chachma. There's nothing wrong with using Svaras to interpret a Halacha, a Deoraisa. But to say that basically, there's no svara. If the Torah is said, here's a mem sophist, I'm not telling you which is which. There's no way that a svara you could determine. This is a fact. Which one is which? So now you're basically saying it's contingent upon another nevuah. But then you're saying nevuah's Moshe is incomplete, but you need another Navi to help Moshe give the Torah. So it's like you're saying that Moshe isn't the only one who's committed to transmitting the Torah. Nevuah's Moshe isn't the only transmitter of the Torah, but also the other itself, the other Nevi'im, that can't be. But to say that the Torah, that Moshe gave it over in a form which is contingent upon the Balei Masorah to use Chachma, use Svara, the methodology of Torah Shebaal Peh, to interpret and to give a form to a mitzvah, that's fine. It's the God. The problem is you can't undermine it was Moshe Rabbeinu and say that there's a further Navi. Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is the source of the Torah. There's no other Nevuah. You know? Okay, so the Gemara concludes, so it says, nah, so Elamasa, really, that won't work either. So you can't say that God didn't tell us which one's which. It has to be told us which one's which, because that's the complete Nevuah. Nevuah's Moshe has to tell us which, what's the Menace of His, what's the regular man. Can't be. So therefore the Gemara says, nah. Really, the Torah told us, Hashem really told us. Then what happened is later they forgot. They didn't know which one was which. And then the Nevi'im came along and told us through Nevuah which one's which. So that, he says, is fine. Because now, it's good, because now the Torah, Nevi'im aren't changing anything, nor are you saying that the Torah was incomplete. The Torah was complete. So now it's just a matter of we forgot. So Navi is just telling us what the fact is. Telling us which one it was. It's a fact, you don't know what it is. So Navi is going to tell us. How else are we supposed to know? First of all, the other question, how could it be that we forgot such a thing? How could you forget such a thing? It sounds impossible. Right? I mean, what do you mean? They didn't have Torahs? Right? It's a funny question. It's a hard kind of question to answer, but perhaps I have an answer. Perhaps. See, if you say, the machlokas is whether if you interchange them, whether it's pasul or kasher, whether that disqualifies it. So let's say you say we hold, like the one that says it's okay, which sounds like we do. The Rambam doesn't bring down that it's pasul. Okay, and it sounds like Kolecha Harbita. So it sounds like we hold it really, it's kosher if you interchange them. So it could be that what happened was, maybe at some point in history, then the Sofrim, either, I don't know, I'm just making up a possibility. I mean, you could just say, look, so they got all mixed up, and then who knows, people of the Sofrim lost touch, they didn't realize, because it's not a Makiv anyways. But maybe it could be they did, if you buy what we were saying earlier, maybe what Dr. John was saying, that, or maybe it's easier to write the Mems, the regular ones. Maybe they only write the regular ones. And then, but they knew that there were these two, but they ended up losing track of which one's which. See, once you say it's not Ma'akev, then you can see the thing. Because people are careful to preserve that. If it's possible the Torah is going to be disqualified, then they make sure everyone's going to be careful. But otherwise, so there could be practical reasons why Sofim weren't careful. Well, it's, this is the beginning, and whatever. They're all both kosher, you don't have to preserve it as well. So according to that sheet, it's a little easier to understand. When Jesus says that it's not Makiv. If you say that it's Makiv, that's switching around, then it's hard to understand. Okay, but David has another question. The question is, why don't you say, saying it's in a VM, restore the Halacha? So you're saying, let's say you have Machlokas. So you have Machlokas, if a Navi comes along, and they say, even if Yeshua ben Nun told us this, I wouldn't listen to you. Because there's a principle, lo bashmayimi. Rishonim means he can't resolve a machlokas using a or halacha using a prophecy. Halacha doesn't work that way. You can't involve nevuah for that type of a thing. So why isn't this the violation of that principle? How do you use it? You don't know the letter is, and you can't use nevuah. Right? That's a good question.
Because there's no two opinions.
What's the difference, though? What's the difference? It's true there's no two opinions, but even there's one opinion, you don't know the halacha.
Yeah,
it
doesn't,
have to be two opinions. It's not a method of teaching halacha, isn't it? Nevuah is not a method of teaching halacha. So I mean, it's true there's machlokes. It's either way, there's one. You just don't know the halacha. You're a teiku. It's a teiku, Navi. It's a good question. How will Leo Navi, you know? A Mashiach answer them when you say, Lo Shmaimi. But it's a good question also. But I mean, you don't say, I mean, Navi can answer your resolve. Take it, your resolve. I know they say that, but
right.
I mean, it just doesn't work that way. It's not, you can't resolve. Halacha is Lo Shmaimi. That's the principle, Lo Shmaimi. So how is it that they're saying here the Navi could redo it? The other question I had, maybe we'll leave this question for next time, but the other question I had, as I mentioned yesterday, which is a famous the debate about Tchelas. Which is that nowadays we don't know what Tchelas is. We lost the Masorah on Tchelas. So there are those, there are archaeological digs and all kinds of evidence that they have that they know what Tchelas is nowadays. So there's all kinds of, there's a whole debate, so some people use it. But apparently the Briskers held, and there are many who hold this. I mean, it seems like it's prevalent because people don't do it. But they held that you can't establish the Chavetz Chaim Mitzvah but through Masorah. You can't use like a scientific investigation to establish the Chavetz Chaim Mitzvah, the Tchelas. Rather, it has to be through Masorah. We don't have Masorah, so that's it. So you can't do it. You know this is it. Masorah is our methodology. Once the Masorah is broken, it's broken. So the question is, if that's the Shita, then why is this Gemara? What about Nevuah? Sounds like the Gemara is holding that you can do this through Nevuah. So my question is, so let's say you knew which was Tchelas through Nevuah. Would that work? If it would, then what's the difference between Nevuah and using the methodology of scientific investigation? And if you'd say that it wouldn't work, Nevuah wouldn't work to tell you what Tchelas is, so why can Nevuah work to tell you which letter is the Mem Sofer, but it can't tell you what Tchelas is? So I mean, it's either way. Like, what's the difference? There's some difference going on here between that principle, and they sound a little bit contradictory. Sounds like you're telling me that they're saying is you can only use Masorah, and here it says you can use Nevuah. So that's a further question. So again, Loba Shemaimi, and then this question. And after that, so that I don't know how long it'll take us next time, but there's two questions. But assuming we get through those, then I would like to go next to the next Mishnah. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but the Mishnah talks about if you write, you read through the whole Mishnah, but basically it talks about if you write on two walls, two letters, one on one wall, one on the other wall, or you write on two pages in a notebook, and they read together the Yerchayev. Okay, I mean, and then you read through the Mishnah, but basically it depends, you'll see. You have to read the beginning part of the Mishnah and the end part of the Mishnah. That's what I'm saying, read the whole Mishnah. It's not just one line of the Mishnah, it's two different parts of the Mishnah. So you read through the whole Mishnah, and the Gemara, I'm jumping down, the Gemara is Amar Rabbi Ami. 10 lines from the bottom by the Gilyan Ashas, a little circle there. The Amar Rami, because of Osachas B'Tferi V'Osachas B'Tzipuri. And basically until Tana. Okay? A few lines. Okay, you'll see, then there's a natural end of this Gemara. Okay, so you do that thing, and it's interesting, it's a very nice question, nice problem brought up by the way. You know, nice, like, to define the Gemara, it doesn't seem to make sense. And I guess after that, maybe we'll do the Tosis there. Maybe we'll get to that. And we still have some stuff to do here. Alrighty.